The telecom mergers just keep coming. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The brand recognition isn't on par with Verizon or T-Mobile or Sprint, but there is a $25 billion merger announcement today in the telephone business. Level 3 Communications owns a big piece of the Internet's backbone. CenturyLink does phone lines for business and rural customers. Rob Frieden is a professor of telecommunications and law at Penn State.
Well, I think it's another example of the quest for consolidation, scale, and a movement away from the commodity business of just moving bits and voice calls into something more value-added.
The massive AT&T-Time Warner proposed merger from just over a week ago could run into a buzzsaw of antitrust concerns. This Level 3 CenturyLink deal, not as much, Frieden says.
Even though CenturyLink has acquired a lot of companies, including Qwest, we're not talking about local phone service and bottlenecks. We're talking more about the long haul. So, it's another couple of billion dollars here and there. I mean, it starts to get significant. But any individual deal like this, I think, is going to pass muster.
CenturyLink stock is down 9%. Level 3 stock is up 5%. More now in our series about what this intense and unpredictable presidential election is doing to and doing for the economy. Recently, we talked to a venture capital man in California who spoke of the rush for initial public stock offerings to get in ahead of the election. He also told of venture funding deals that fell apart when people started arguing about Clinton versus Trump. Now a visit to the port of Newark, New Jersey, where Steve Liberti Sr. runs Harbor Freight Transport, a medium-sized firm that does what's called break bulk cargo, odd-sized shipments that don't easily fit into a standard shipping container.
This is what the piers used to look like years ago. Freight used to come to a terminal, a pier, and get loaded along a boat vessel. Today it comes to a warehouse facility like this, gets loaded into ocean containers, that gets loaded on top of the vessel.
So what are some of the things here? I'm seeing some interesting stuff already. We got marble? Is this what this is?
This is granite.
Granite, I'm sorry. Yeah.
This is a sea of granite. We're hearing a lot of granite, a lot of glass.
A restored 1920s Packard, an aircraft engine bound for a museum, huge spools of cable to build suspension bridges. When I arrived, Steve's accountant had just driven away looking happy.
First half of the year was down, very, very much so from last year. And I've seen now since the end of the third quarter, now beginning of the fourth quarter, volume has picked up a lot. And I see it continuing through the end of the year just by the amount of quotes we're getting and jobs that we're quoting on and the movement of cargo that we're seeing.
So something's starting to move out there.
Yeah, we do see it moving on our end.
Parts of the world that you see where it's stronger?
Being on the East Coast, you're going to see more European cargo. South America hasn't really been a big player. You know, we do ship down there and receive cargo from there, but Europe is our main trading partner here.
Well, that's really interesting because some people are worried that maybe all this uncertainty that we see swirling around, for instance, the presidential election, is causing some deals to hang up and that people are waiting and seeing. But that's not what you're seeing here.
No, I find that deals normally hang up for a lot of other reasons, and they blame unstable political atmosphere for it. It's not. Politics don't drive the economy. You know, I shouldn't say totally don't drive it, but it does not. It's not steering it. Okay, business will steer the economy because if you need something, you're going to buy it. Okay, and you're putting up a power plant is a reason to put it up, and you're going to put it up. You know, whether Hillary's in the White House or Donald.
There's another piece of this politics that's different from if people are waiting to do their deals. Some people are telling me that there are business deals that are moving forward, and then the parties involved start talking politics, and they start getting on each other's nerves. And it's like, do you have a rule about that? Do you keep politics out of it, or have you noticed that around you a little bit?
No, I haven't seen that yet. Maybe I avoid that conflict.
Maybe you're a better diplomat than some of these people that we've seen. Steve Liberti Sr., Harbor Freight Transport, thank you for this.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming.
Later this week on Marketplace, I'll talk to a nurse practitioner in Seattle whose patients are drifting away because he's a Bernie Sanders-turned-Hillary Clinton man. So a week from tomorrow night, we'll be on the edge of our sofas waiting to see who won. Television networks have an additional, albeit more minor, concern in the grand sweep of history. Who can make the most from the ads during the coverage of the election returns? Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
Now, TV viewership is generally declining, but networks have been thrown a bone. This insane election.
Election night really is the Super Bowl for broadcast news stations.
Jeff McCall is professor of media studies at DePaul University. Now, the ads have already been paid for, but if a network wins the eyeball game,
they can brag about it.
Rafael Revilla is partner at ad agency Marcus Thomas.
It makes themselves more valuable next year, next election season.
And, says Jeff McCall,
they can get viewers into their tent who might not be normal viewers for their channels.
One way to do this is to showcase the network's favorite personalities and dial up the graphics in the studios.
It's going to be amazing on election night. It's a state-of-the-art studio.
Fox News Megyn Kelly there. But the biggest strategy for networks to compete for eyeballs on election night?
Being first with the results.
Jonathan Taplin is director emeritus at USC's Annenberg Innovation Lab.
Now, this is a dangerous game.
He fears that if, in the race to be first, networks report results before polls close, it could end up influencing the election. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
It's the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.